Today, we observe the celebration of All Saints' Day. It's one of the seven principal feasts of our church year. So this is a pretty big deal in the Episcopal Church. And like I said before, if you've had your coffee this morning, you'll notice we changed out the colors, and I have on this fancy poncho. It's called a chasuble. So the color is white today, and it's the same color that we use for Easter and for Christmas and for baptisms and for funerals. White is a hopeful color, or it's a palette waiting for the color of our dreams of the future. All Saints' Day is very special because it reminds us of our ties to Christ's birth, his baptism, and his resurrection, and our ties to every saint that has come before us or is going to come one day. Each year on All Saints' Day, it falls on November 1st, but because November 1st was not on a Sunday, we moved it to today. Historically, All Saints' Day began as a commemoration of the martyrs who had died for their Christian faith. But over the years, it's evolved into a day when we honor and remember all the saints, those who have died in Christ and are now living on the other side of glory, as well as all of us here, still living in Christ on this side of eternity, including each one of you here. On occasion, you may have heard the Apostles' Creed. If you've ever been to a baptism or renewed your baptismal vows or participated in morning prayer or gone to the convention these past couple of days, it's in the Book of Common Prayer, which is underneath your seat somewhere. It's on page 96 if you ever want to look it up. In the Apostles' Creed, we use the phrase, the communion of saints. That, I'm sure you've heard that, the communion of saints. And what we say in the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. So what is this communion of saints? It is the idea that all of God's people in heaven and on earth are spiritually connected and united. In other words, Christians believe that the saints of God in heaven are just as alive as we are, and that we are all woven together in communion with one another. Today is also a day when we remember those who have died, and we have a chance to reflect on how we are connected to them still through Christ, especially through the Eucharist. In seminary, we discussed that during Holy Communion, the Holy Spirit creates for us a thin space in which we are closer to God and to all those that are with God and in God. And I think that kind of blew my mind because the Eucharist has always been such a profound experience for me. And now I began to realize why. Then I ran across a book by a Lutheran pastor who so eloquently wrote this passage. As we seek and find our risen Lord, we shall find our dear departed. They are with him. And we find the reality of their continued life through him. The saints are part of the church. We worship them. They worship the risen Christ face to face, while we worship the same risen Christ under the veil of bread and wine at the altar. So when we experience the Eucharist or Holy Communion, we are linked with heaven, with Christ, with the communion of saints, with our loved ones. The altar is a meeting place for us and God where we meet together, our loved ones, all of us in communion. I know that as I receive the Eucharist every week and I'm connected with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, including my grandmothers, my grandfathers, my father-in-law, Martin Luther King Jr., St. Timothy, St. Clair, Francis, they're all present there with that company of heaven, the communion of saints with my risen Lord. As I participate, I am aware again that I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a living cell in that spiritual organism, connected with other cells and sharing in the body of Christ himself. According to Wikipedia, a saint is a person who is recognized as having an exceptional degree of holiness or likeness or closeness to God. In our reading today from 1 John that Bertram read for us, we listen to how we are all children of God now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. However, we are assured that we will be like God, for we will see God as God is. And all who have this hope in God purify themselves just as God is pure. I can't help but think of artistic representations of Jesus and the saints that hang in museums all over the world. Renaissance painters in Italy depicted Jesus as a thin, olive-skinned man. Saints look like the beautiful Italian models that were hired by the artists. Dutch painters paint blonde saints and fair-haired Jesuses. I've seen pictures of the Chinese Holy Family, a Native American John the Baptist, an African Mary, because it is hard to see the divine apart from ourselves. I don't even think that we're supposed to. Because saints are the people of God, alive and dead, who are graced by the Spirit of God. And no wonder we see ourselves depicted in them, because we are them. I have always had an affinity for saints. I grew up Methodist, so there were no statues or icons decorating our church, but when I had the occasion to see one, I was fascinated. The art museum in town, the painting of Saint Cecilia in my piano teacher's house, the statue in front of the Catholic school in my neighborhood, all beautiful and lifelike depictions of people that were once all like us. Flesh and blood people. They had families and they got sleepy and hungry, and people that they loved dearly. These people did amazing things, and some of them miracles, and some just simple acts of love from their love of Jesus and their full heart of that love. As we read again, the Beatitudes today, we might think that maybe that's a list of Jesus's teachings that could be a criteria of sainthood, right? That makes sense. Many verses beyond what's in our lectionary today on into Matthew, we would read something different. The end of Matthew chapter 5 ends with this whammy of a verse: "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Sure, it's no problem. I don't know about you, but it's going to be a long time before I have perfect on lockdown. I'm pretty sure it's never going to happen for me on this side of eternity. But one commentary that I read about this verse reminded me that the word perfect in our version that of Bible that we use, the NRSV translation, it's not quite right, because it really should be something more like becoming full. so that the word perfect should really say becoming full. So this verse would be more like, be always becoming full like your heavenly Father is full. It's a little bit different from perfect. Full, like a blooming rose, or full, like a big smile. Full, like something that has been getting bigger. And that's what I think saints are. They are full. Full of God's light and love. And we are on that journey too, filling up with all that light and love and blossoming into our full selves, growing closer to our risen Lord, growing closer to the communion of saints, living lives full of God's love and God's image. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We are living witnesses to God's glory. We are instruments of God's purpose. We are parts of the body. We are Christ's own forever with all the company of heaven on this side of eternity and the next.